Many observers were stunned when a Christian, making a basic statement of faith that Jesus is the Son of God, was considered an insult to Muslims. Hello and welcome to this part of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and our guest is Robert Spencer, who is the author of several books, best-selling books, on Muhammad and on Islam. His latest book is called The History of Jihad. He describes it as his best book, and I'll tell you what, that's saying a lot, because Robert Spencer's books are fantastic. JihadWatch.org for more information. Robert, so good to have you on the program again. Thank you for joining
us. Always good to talk to you, Jerry. Thank you.
Sure. Okay, you recently said this, quote, "Christians who are anxious to avoid offending Muslims should convert to Islam now because the simple expression of the Christian faith offends Muslims." That's kind of an interpretation based on some Islamic teacher out of Canada. Tell us about this.
Yeah, what he said was that Muslims should be offended, that he was saying that this is a positive good, that Muslims should be offended when Christians say that Jesus is the Son of God. So he's saying that it's not that Christians have to say something deliberately insulting to Muslims, or that Christians need to be offensive in some way, but that Christians, by the very statement of their faith, are being offensive to Muslims.
So what about live and let live?
Well, there is no live and let live in Islam. The Quran, the holy book of Islam, says, fight them until religion is all for Allah, which is essentially an indefinite declaration of war for all time against those whose religion is not all for Allah.
Yeah, but we're hearing all the time Islam is a religion of peace.
Well, you know, there's another thing that Muhammad, the prophet of Islam, said, and that was, war is deceit. And he made it very clear that there were several cases that lying was wrong, but there were several cases in which it was allowed, and one of them was in wartime. And so if you are a Muslim who considers that you are at war with non-Muslims, and that is something that is enjoined in a perpetual, the perpetual state of war is enjoined in Islamic teaching, then you can lie to the unbelievers. And of course, saying that Islam is a religion of peace in the West fosters complacency about the rapid rise in the number of Muslims in the West, and makes it harder for those who are trying to call attention to this, to the difficulties in regard to the teachings of Islam, to get through, because people dismiss them as bigots and hate mongers and so on.
Okay, the teacher that we're talking about is named Sheikh Yunus Kathadra. Now, first of all, let me just say this. You and I know that there's a lot of different expressions within, let's say, Christendom, okay? And sometimes, you know, you've got some wacko person that claims to be a Christian leader, and maybe they are, but they're certainly not speaking for me, they're not speaking for you, you're a Christian, I'm a Christian. Is this guy, Yunus Kathadra, the sheikh, leader, you know, within Canada, is he a genuine speaker for, is he representing, you know, Muslims in his statements about Jesus?
Yeah, Yunus Kathrada is completely mainstream. There's nothing, he's not in some little offshoot sect or something like that. He's an ordinary Sunni Islamic imam, and he is saying things that are not unique to him. As a matter of fact, just recently in Uganda, there were some traveling evangelists who they set up a tent and they were preaching, and they ended up getting beat up by some of the local Muslims who said that they were offended when they were actually saying out in public that Jesus was the Son of God. Same thing as what Yunus Kathrada is saying, that this is something that Muslims should take offense to, even though it's a core teaching of Christianity.
Yeah. Here's this fellow, Kathadra. Here's a quote from him in an article that references you, too. It says, "You and I must be offended when people say that they worship Jesus, or when they say that Jesus is the Son of God. Guess what? I stand 100% behind these words. I said those words, and I stand behind them 100%. He also said that the Christmas holiday is Christian, and, quote-unquote, it is based on what Islam deems to be blasphemy. So Merry Christmas is blasphemous to Muslims?
Yes. He said that to say Merry Christmas is worse than murder, because blasphemy is worse than murder. It harms the soul, whereas murder harms the body. And so there is a twisted logic to what he's saying, but it's based on the Quran's teaching that it's an insult to Allah, to God, to say that he has a son, because it implies that he's incomplete and needs someone else to help him do his work. And so the Quran's rejection of Jesus being the Son of God is a result of their false idea of what it means for God to be omnipotent.
Okay, now this is very troubling, though, in the sense that there's what, 2.2 billion Christians or whatever in the world, professing Christians, and there's about 1.5, maybe more, professing Muslims in the world. That's a lot of people. About half of humanity, just about, is represented by professing Christians and professing Muslims. And the Muslims are saying that essentially Christians don't have a right to believe what they believe?
Yeah. Exactly. That look, in the Quran, Jesus is a Muslim prophet, and he's not the Son of God, he's not the Savior of the world, he doesn't rise from the dead, but he is a Muslim prophet, and the Christians are rebuked for making that prophet into a divinity. It says that far be it from Allah's transcendent majesty that he should have a son. Allah, in chapter 5 of the Quran, asks Jesus if he told his followers to worship him and his mother as gods, because that's the Quran's misunderstanding of the Holy Trinity, that it's Allah, Jesus, and Mary. And so the Christianity that is mainstream and orthodox, that teaches that Jesus is divine, that Jesus is the Son of God, and so on, and that he died and rose from the dead, these things are explicitly rejected in the Quran, and the Quran says unbelievers are those who say Allah is the Messiah, the Son of Mary. That's in chapter 5, verse 17, and then again in 572. And so if the people who say that Allah is the Christ, that is, that Jesus is divine, are unbelievers, well, then there you have the delegitimization of the entire Christian tradition and the Christian faith in general. And it's not just a delegitimization in terms of saying that it's wrong. It's a blasphemy because it is twisting the truth about someone who is actually a prophet of Allah. And so it's an insult to Allah, and it's an insult to Jesus in the Muslim view. And thus, the idea that it should be suppressed by force is the next step. And that's also mainstream Islam, because the Quran says, in regard to unbelievers, in chapter 9, verse 14, fight them, and Allah will punish them by your hands. Now, if Allah is going to punish the unbelievers by the hands of the Muslims, then you can see that the Muslims have a responsibility to be violent toward those who are not Muslim. And if those people are saying these things that are blasphemy, then they need to be retaliated against in this world.
Okay, let me ask you a couple quick questions here. In the Quran, Surah 19:30 through 34, Jesus is talking, and he talks about the Allah da 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 until the day I die, rise again, and come back later. Could a Christian argue? In fact, I know of he's dead now, but an evangelist who used to present the gospel to Muslims, but he would use the Quran to do that, and that was one of his big proof texts. You know, Jesus.
Are you referring to Akbar Haq?
No. His name was Avril Edvardsen, the name of the man.
Akbar Haq was an evangelist in the Billy Graham organization, and he did the same thing. He wrote an excellent book, Sharing Your Faith with a Muslim, was one of the first books that I read about Islam many, many decades ago.
So, and also, by the way, if I could just real fast, the Quran does teach that Jesus is born of a virgin, correct?
Oh, yeah. See, this is the
thing. Well, how could you be born of a virgin and not just be more than a man? You'd have to be more than a man if you're born of a virgin.
That's why these evangelists are able to use the Quran to bring Muslims to Christ.
Yeah.
Because the Quran teaches that Jesus is born of a virgin. Muhammad says in a hadith that Jesus is sinless, that he and his mother are the only sinless people who ever lived, and Muhammad is not sinless, although de facto he is treated that way in Islam. The Quran actually rebukes him in chapter 80 for being unkind to a poor man and paying more attention to the rich. And so Muhammad's not sinless, Jesus is. Muhammad is not born of a virgin, Jesus is. Jesus, according to another hadith, Muhammad says Jesus is going to come back at the end of the world. Muhammad is not. And so these kinds of things, Jesus is also called in the Quran the Word of Allah, the Word of God, which Muhammad is not.
And it's
so
capital W.
Yeah, absolutely. Christians have been able to capitalize, to use those verses to make Muslims think. I mean, what really happened here is that the people who put Islam together, they took some elements of Christianity that they didn't fully understand and incorporated them into their new religion. But the way that they did it opens the door for evangelization, because it does allow Christians to plant these seeds and say, how is it that Muhammad doesn't have all these special attributes that Jesus does have? And then you say Muhammad is the last and greatest prophet. It doesn't make any sense.
Mm. So in the meantime, so we've got that side of the picture, that there's ambiguity there. But on the other side of the picture, those, Muslims who are jihadists, they're taking what they see in black and white, and they're seeing the verses, for example, that says Jesus is not the Son of God, because God doesn't have a son. God could not have a son. That's blasphemous. And then they're taking it to the next conclusion, a logical conclusion, is when they have power, in some cases, they're able to put blasphemers to death. That would mean even just Christians, people who affirm what you and I believe, they could put us to death if we were in the wrong country at the wrong time.
Yeah. The Ugandans who attacked the preachers said exactly that they were offending against Islam. They were blaspheming against Islam. And they were doing that by saying Jesus was the Son of God.
Okay, now we have Congress people recently who've been elected to Congress that believe these things. Now, they surely don't believe that. Well, maybe they do, and they just they're not letting it on. I don't think they have much faith in Israel as a nation, or much belief that Israel should exist as a nation.
Well, yeah. I mean, the thing is that they almost certainly believe all this, because this is standard Islam. I'm not talking about some extremist form of Islam, some twisted, hijacked version of the religion of peace. I'm giving you what's ordinary Islam. And the Muslim congresswomen who were just elected are Sharia-adherent Muslims. And consequently, it's almost certain that they believe these things. But, of course, reporters being on the left and very sympathetic to these people as signs of diversity and inclusion and all that, they never challenge them about these things, never ask them any questions about them.
And what's so sad is that people like you, who study these things in depth, or people like Pamela Geller, who's essentially a glorified blogger with a great deal of courage, and she's, looked into these things. And anyway, people like you are vilified as if somehow, you're the big threat to the West and to our peace.
Well, yeah, this is a massive propaganda effort that's been very successful on the part of groups like the Council on American Islamic Relations, the Southern Poverty Law Center, and others that have very successfully made people think that to oppose jihad mass murder and Sharia oppression of women and of other groups of non-Muslims, that this is somehow wrong, that it's a manifestation of hatred and bigotry. And, of course, the Southern Poverty Law Center even has a list of hate groups that includes so-called anti-Muslim hate groups. And I say to them that to oppose jihad, if you think opposing jihad makes you anti-Muslim, then does opposing Nazism make you anti-German? It's ridiculous on its face, but nonetheless, this is what's taken for granted, the perspective that is taken for granted by the establishment media today.
Jihadwatch.org for more information. Half a minute left. How about just a quick sales pitch on the history of jihad?
The history of jihad, my newest book, is the first and only history of jihad that covers the entire 1,400-year history in one volume of this phenomenon, and shows that everywhere that Muslims have gone throughout history, some of them have waged war against unbelievers, and there's never been a place that they've gone where there haven't been Muslims who have waged war against unbelievers. So we should be aware and prepared that there's going to be more strife in the United States because of this.
Jihadwatch.org. Robert, thank you so much for being with us. Keep up the great work.
Thank you.